Okay, so we are holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Going back now to the topic of the Lechi and the Korah, here we're going to be focusing on the Korah particularly. So we learned before, okay, so again, we said a Mavri needs either a Lechi or a Korah. Okay, we said according to Beis Shammai, it needs both a Lechi and a Korah. But anyway, the point is, let's talk about the rules about the Korah. So far, we talked about the positioning of it. It can't be above 20 Amos. It can't be below 10 Tvachim. Now we're going to talk about the rules of the Korah itself, what it has to look like. So the Mishnah says, we haven't learned how to think it has to be really. No, that's it. HaKorah Sha'amru, this Korah that we're talking about, that you have to put on the Mavri, Rechava Kedil Kabel Ariach, it has to be wide enough to fit an Ariach. I'll explain in a second what an Ariach is. Actually, the Mishnah is going to explain. V'Ariach Chatzi Levena Shal Shloisha Tfachim. An Ariach is a half brick of three Tfachim. Bricks in those days were usually made square, so it wasn't like nowadays you get a brick and usually it comes rectangular to begin with. Bricks in those days typically were square, so I guess they were more like tiles. And Rashi, in fact, used a lot of times in Shas, when it mentions bricks, a lot of times Rashi translates them with a French word similar to the word tiles. Anyway, they were usually 3 by 3 tefachim. So a half brick, therefore, is 3 tefachim by 1.5 tefachim. So that's a daya lakoda shetei rechava tefach. So it's enough if the koda is 1 tefach wide, kedei lekabel ariach lerochboy. That way it can fit an ariach widthwise. Now, it's still not going to fit on the face of it because an ariach is 1.5 tefachim and the koda is only one tefach wide. So you're going to have a little bit of it stick out on both sides. We'll deal with that point in the Gemara. Well, in other words, if you set up the koda if you have the koda as a tefach wide and you stick on it a brick which is 1.5 tefachim wide, then a little bit of it, an etzba, is going to stick out on each side. So, but nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that's okay for reasons that we will discuss in the Gemara. Okay. Right. So the reason why you need this in the first place, so it's not that you actually have to put bricks on it. It's not that you, there's a machlokas rishonim. Is it that it has to be able to be strong? Well, actually strong enough, we're going to talk about the next piece of the Mishnah. But the reason why we put it in terms of bricks is because rishonim bring, is because then, there are two reasons. Number one, then it shows that you put it there as a kvir sticker thing. If it's narrower than that, people are likely to think you just put it there temporarily. You needed someplace to put a stick and you just put it up there. When it's wide enough to put bricks on top of it, then it shows you put it there as an actual permanent part of the structure. There's also the idea this way it won't be light enough to be blown away by the wind. Continues the Mishnah. Rechava kedei lekabel ariach, uvriya kedei lekabel ariach. Now, it has to not only be wide enough to hold an ariach, it also has to be strong enough. In other words, it can't be a piece of plastic or something. Rabbi Yehuda omer rechava af pishein bria. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, as long as it's wide enough to hold bricks, then we don't care if it's strong enough. Now, so the Mishnah continues. Hoisa shokash v'shokanim. If the koda was made out of straw or out of reeds, royonoisa kili shomatches, we consider it as if it was made out of metal. Now that's only according to the Yehuda, because according to the Chachamim, that wouldn't work. It's not strong enough. By the way, the Taz points out an interesting point. So you can have, for example, one that's made out of straw, where it may not be weak enough that putting a brick on it or bricks, whatever, will actually break it, but it could bend it out of shape. And we're going to see that there are rules, we're going to see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, that there are rules about if it's bent, if it's partially bent. So that could factor in as well. Continues the Mishnah, Akuma, if the koda is bent, royinoi sekili pshuta, we consider it as if it was straight. Now that we're going to see in the Gemara, is that only according to Rabbi Yehuda, or is that according to the Chachamim as well? Agula, and if the koda that you're using is circular, so like you use a stick, think of for example a broomstick or something which is round in cross section. So if you use something like that, we consider it as if it was squared off, as if you shaped it into a square, or as if you split it down the middle, so now you have a flat surface to put the ariach on, and that kind of thing works. Now, how do we know if it's big enough for that purpose? So the Mishnah gives us the rule, kol sheyesh be'akeva shloisha tefachim, yesh be'reichav tefach. If the circumference of it is at least 3 tefachim, then the diameter is at least 1 tefach. So a broomstick wouldn't be big enough because it's not tefach akulos. But in other words, if you have a stick, if you have a round stick like that, which is thick enough in cross section, that if you were to cut it in half, you would have a flat surface of a tefach, then that's good enough. And the amount for that is, if the circumference, if while it's still whole, it's 3 tefachim around. Now, that's not mathematically exact. That concept of this ratio between the circumference and the diameter is called, we call it pi. We call it by the Greek letter pi. It's actually a bit more than 3. It's around 3 1/7, but it's actually an irrational number. It can't be expressed exactly in figures. So the Rambam writes that's the point. In other words, that since it anyway is not going to be exact, if you put 3 1/7, it wouldn't be exact anyway, then the Chachamim round it to 3. We'll see in the Gemara a source for that Al Pi Torah. That source for that ratio. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. What do you mean tefach? What do you mean the korah only has to be a tefach wide? If you're telling me that so as far as the ariach, I forgot to mention then, so you have a machlokas rishonim, when we say it has to be strong enough, according to the Tanakhama, to hold an ariach, does it mean one single ariach, or does it mean a row of arichim along the length of it? Well, then the answer would be, then if we say a whole row of them, then it would mean as long as the length of the korah, okay, the poskim say minus a little less than 3 tefachim on each side, because less than 3 tefachim on each side is lavud. But in other words, if let's say, for example, the korah is 10 amos wide, which is the maximum it can be, as we learned, then you would have to have, it would have to be strong enough to hold a row, according to that opinion, it's the Ravid's opinion, it would have to be strong enough to hold a row of 9 amos long of arichin. So each ariach is a tefach and a half wide, as we're saying, and you'd have one next to the other, 3, 3, 3, etc., because the length of each one is 3, until within 3 tefachim on either side of the mavoi. Cement in between you don't need, but we're going to see in a second about cement. So not necessarily, but you don't necessarily need that, but you do need it to be strong enough to hold that. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara... wider than 10, you anyway. We said you have to mimayit, right? We said in the first. Oh, if the stick goes over, fine. But I mean, the ends of it are on the walls of the mavoi anyway. So then. Okay, so the Gemara asked, what do you mean tefach? What do you mean that the korah only needs to be one tefach wide? Tefach umechzeboi. If the point is that you have to put an ariach on it, then it has to be a tefach and a half wide. So the answer is, kiven de roch of lekabel tefach, because if it's wide enough to hold one tefach of the brick, idach chatzit tefach malbin lebetina mashu mahay gisa u mashu mahay gisa. What you'll do is, if you put the brick on it, it'll stick out one etzba on each side. Fine, what you'll put is, you'll put a little cement under it, a dab of cement on one corner and on the other corner, v'kaima, and then it'll stand up. So having a tefach space over there for it to stand on is enough, and then the little bit that it sticks over on each side, you can put in some cement to hold it in place. So therefore, that's considered valid, and therefore, that's considered that it'll hold an ariach. Again, exactly. So again, you have some Rishonim that learn that you only need it to be strong enough to hold one ariach, and you have other Rishonim who learn that it has to be strong enough to hold a whole row of arichim. In Shulchan Aruch, it actually doesn't specify one way or the other. It just says that it needs to be strong enough for an ariach. The various Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch over there discuss this point about it having to hold a whole row of arichim. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch just brings to begin with that it has to be strong enough to hold a row of arichim. Okay. Amar Rabba Baravona. So again, so Rava Bar Avona says, as far as the koda itself, as we said in the Mishnah, it has to be strong enough to hold an ariach, or row of arichim, depending. But umamide koda, but the things that hold up the koda, einan tzrichin shiyu brin kedei lekabel koda v'ariach, they don't have to be strong enough to hold the koda plus the ariach, they just have to be strong enough to hold up the koda. What are umamide hakoda? Rashi explains, you don't always have the koda sitting on the walls of the mavo. Sometimes you'll have, as we learned a few days ago, that you could have pegs or nails or whatever sticking out of the walls of the mavo, and then you put the koda on top of that. So the point is that Rabbi Bar Avuna is telling us that those pegs themselves don't have to be strong enough that they would be able to hold the koda plus the arichim. They just have to be strong enough to hold the koda. But that's there they're doing it as a tzuras a pesach, not as a koda. That's different. A tzoras haPesach is something else. The tzoras haPesach, you don't need, the piece on top can even be a string, as you often have with tzoras haPesach. Here we're talking about a koda. Yeah. A koda is a different thing. The koda itself has to be strong enough, as we're saying. Yeah. Right, but the difference is a koda doesn't have l'chayayim under it. A koda doesn't have a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side underneath it.
Can we ask all the questions at the end of the shir, please? Can we ask the questions at the end of the shir?
Because it's to a certain extent, but on the other hand, we need to understand this. So
it's very clear.
Okay, to you it's clear. To Ellie, it's not. But anyway, listen. Okay, so let me explain. There's two different issues over here, Ellie. There's a tzuras haPesach, which is you have a lechi, a vertical lechi, another vertical lechi, and a piece on top. That piece on top doesn't have to have the rules of the koda. It can just be a string. Then on the other hand, here we're dealing with, all you have is a koda. You have nothing standing on the ground underneath it. You may have pegs sticking out of the walls on the two sides, which the koda is sitting on top of that. But there's no actual vertical things standing next to the walls of the mavri. So that's not a tzuras haPesach, that's a koda. There we're saying the koda has to be strong enough to hold an ariach, but we're saying the ma'amidei koda do not. Rabbi Nachmanu, anyway, gives a different explanation. A ma'amidei koda, he says it means the walls of the mavri itself. Normally the koda sits on the walls of the mavri. So we're saying that the walls themselves don't have to be strong enough to hold the koda plus the ariach. Even if they're very weak walls, it's okay as long as they can hold the koda. Okay. Right. Okay. So anyway, so that's all according. Well, you are talking about an eruv because it's a pesach is needed for an eruv. Right. Right. Here we're talking about for mavui. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So anyway, so that's according to Rabbi Baravona. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says no. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzrichin shiyuk brin kedei lekabel koda v'ariach. No, both the koda and the ma'amidei koda, the nails that it's sitting on that are sticking out of the wall, or the walls themselves, according to Rabbi Nachmanu, need to be strong enough to hold the koda plus the ariach. Who is the halacha like? Here you have a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam paskins like Rav Chista. The Rosh paskins like Rabbi Baravona. And in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions, and the Alter Rebbe says, listen, given that it's an issue, Dirabanan over here, then you can be makel according to the first opinion. You can be makel according to the opinion that says that it's just that just needs to be strong, that the ma'amidim, that the nails or whatever that's hanging on just need to be strong enough to hold the koda itself. No. Right. Okay. Okay. No. The koda itself, we're saying, definitely has to be strong enough for bricks. Only Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is saying that not. According to the Tanakhama, it has to be strong enough. Again, we're focusing on the machlokas as far as the ma'amide koda, which means, again, if you have here, pegs that are holding it up. In other words, it's not sitting directly on the walls. You have pegs sticking out of the walls on one side and on the other, and the koda is sitting on that. You can be makel because it's only a din d'rabbanan. So therefore, this is we're going to the ma'amide koda. You can be makel. Not the koda itself. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Amr of Sheshis. Hiniach koda al gabi mavui. If you place the koda on the mavui, uporas alaya machzelas, then you spread a mat over the koda. And you intended to make it a mechitza. Like this, the koda we discussed before, whether the koda functions as a heker, whether the point of it is that you'll notice the koda and that way you'll know not to carry into Rosh Hashanah, or whether the point of it is as a mechitza, that the end of it is considered to form a mechitza. So now, let's say you decided you're going to make an actual mechitza out of it. You're going to actually take a mat and spread it out hanging down from the koda. But what you did is, you left the end of that mat is more than 3 tefachim above the ground. So now it's no good. Koda ein kan, mechitza ein kan. Now you don't have either. You don't have a koda and you don't have a mechitza. Koda ein kan de hamichsia, because now you covered up the koda. The whole point of the koda, well, not the whole point. One point of the koda is mishum heker, and now there's no heker because you can't see it. You see something, but now you're talking mishum mechitza. Mechitza ein kan, da habi lo mechitza, shag doyim boikin ba, because now it's a mechitza that young goats can go underneath it, meaning that it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and such a thing is not considered a mechitza. A mechitza has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. We learned a couple of days ago, we said that only when it comes to water are the chachamim meiko by mechitza tluya, by mechitza that hangs far above the surface, but normally you have to have, the mechitza has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. You don't necessarily, for sukkah maybe you need that, for this you don't necessarily need that. No, Gedoyim Boikim is defined as three tvachim. So if it's less than three tvachim, we don't care if the bottom of it flaps around in the wind a bit. Okay. Tanan Rabbanan. Koda hayotzis mikosel zeh ve'en enagas mikosel zeh. Suppose the koda comes from one wall and doesn't reach all the way to the other wall. So yeah, if it's sitting on one wall of the mavri, it's strong enough that the other end of it is not going to fall down, let's say, but it doesn't quite reach the other end. Similarly, if you have two kodas like that, where neither one reaches all the way, you have a gap in the middle. So then it depends. Is that good or not? If the gap between the koda and the wall, or between the two kodas, is less than three tvachim, you don't need to bring another koda, and this one is fine, because three tvachim is lavud. But if it's three tvachim or more, then you need to get another koda, because this one's no good. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's not three tvachim, but four. As we had before, that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that lavud is up to four tvachim, right? V'chein, and similarly, beis kodas hamas imos. Similarly, if you have two kodas that are one next to the other. Now, here you have a three-way machlokas among Rishonim, what this means. Rashi over here learns that it means the two of them are next to each other. There's no space between them, but lying next to each other like that. Neither one is wide enough to hold the ariach. We said in the Mishnah it needs to be a tefach wide. So each of these sticks that you're trying to use is a half tefach wide, let's say. But you put them one next to the other, and therefore you have a tefach wide. That's according to Rashi. Then you have a number of the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ritva, and a number of others explain that what we mean is you can even have that they are up to a tefach apart, because if you have one stick over here and one over here, and a space up to a tefach in between, lavud would be up to three tefachim. The point is, hold on. If you have like that, if you have one of them, a space up to a tefach, and the other one, you can still put the Ariach on it. Because the Ariach, you don't have to have that the bottom of the Ariach is on solid surface. You can have, in other words, so fine, one end of it will be on one of these pieces, the other end will be on the other piece, it will be on the other one. In between you'll have a space. As long as it's strong enough to hold them, then you're good. So only one tefach though, because if it's more than one tefach apart, it's not going to hold the brick, because the brick is going to fall through. So therefore, yes, normally we would say three tefachim is lavud, but here we would only say up to one tefach. Then the Rambam has a third shitta, which is that like any other place, it's good even if it's up to three tefachim apart. It won't actually hold the brick. Doesn't matter. Lavud says as if it could hold, because they themselves are strong enough, as the Gemara is going to say, between the two of them, they would be strong enough to hold the whole brick. So even if they're up to three tefachim apart, then it's okay, because at that point we can say lavud. So those are the different opinions about it. If you put the two sticks one next to the other, obviously it won't fall through. Oh, no. No, but not unless you cement them together, no. Okay, anyway. Okay. You don't have to put bricks, but it has to be strong enough to hold bricks, yeah. Okay, so. So v'chein beis kodas hamasimus. So the same thing if you have two kodas, one next to the other. Loi bazukadei lekabel ariach, v'loi bazukadei lekabel ariach. Neither one by itself is wide enough to hold the ariach. Im lekabelus ariach l'rochvoi. If between the two of them it's able to hold an ariach by its width. Again, according to Rashi, they're right next to each other, and they make up a tefach width between the two of them. According to the Rashba and so forth, that they're up to a tefach apart. And according to the Rambam, that the sticks themselves are, the width of the actual sticks themselves is one tefach, but they're placed within three tefachim of each other. Then, ein sarich lahavi koda acheres, and you don't have to get another, you don't have to, so im kabel sariach l'roch by tefach, ein sarich lahavi koda acheres, and you don't need to bring another koda, and these two are fine as the koda. The im lav sarich lahavi koda acheres, and if not, then you have to get another koda. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, im kabel sariach l'orko shloisha. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, in that case, what you need is actually they need to be able to fit the ariach along its length of three tefachim. So in other words, not the width that we were talking about of a tefach and a half, but rather the length of three tefachim. So if it's able to fit it like that, ein sarach l'havi koda acheres, then you don't need another koda. V'im lav sarach l'havi koda acheres. If not, then you do need to get another one. You don't need a picture for that. Okay, the brick was 1.5 by 3 tefachim. Up till now, we've been talking about it only needs to be wide enough to fit the width of the brick. Now we're saying the length. Yeah. So the length would be 3 tefachim. So So in other words, you would have to have the pieces, according to the Shimon Gamliel, have to be wide enough, if they're not next to each other, that you have to have, that they would actually be able to fit the brick along its length of three tefachim. Okay. Onward. Hayu achas l'mayla v'achas l'manta. What happens if one of the kodas is higher and one of them is lower? So they're not actually right next to each other. We imagine as if the upper one was down below, and the lower one as if it was above, and therefore it's considered now they're next to each other, and therefore you're good. As long as the upper one is not higher than 20 amos, or the lower one is not lower than 10 tefachim, because then they're in a place where the koda is possible anyway. But if you have now, and Tosfos mentions one more condition that the Gemara mentions in Sukkah, which is all of this would only work if the two kodas are within three tefachim of each other, vertically and horizontally. So you would have to have, in other words, so we're saying over here one of them can't be higher than 20 amos, that's fine. But you also can't have, let's say, that one of them is at 20 amos and the other one is at 19 amos high. That wouldn't work because they're more than three tefachim apart vertically in height. So you would have to have one of them is at 20 amos and the other one is at 19 tefachim and 4 amos. Or the other way around. You would have one of them is at 10 tefachim, which is good, and the other one is at 12 tefachim. But if you were further apart than that, then you would have a problem. We're saying according to everybody. So Tosfos is talking about here when we're saying that according to the Yosef of Yehuda, you can consider as though the lower one was, as though the higher one was lower and the lower one was higher, you would still have to have not only the thin ones, that only works if the two of them are within three tefachim of each other vertically. Otherwise, right. Not otherwise it can't hold a brick. Again, we have concepts called chavut rami and good asik and other such things, but that only works when they're within three tefachim of each other. The Gemara mentions that in Sukkah, Tosfos says. Okay, let's go on. Amar Abaya, so Abaya points out this opinion that we just had of Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Savala Kavua Bechado, Polagalei Bechado. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda agrees with his father as far as one detail and disagrees with him as far as another detail. This Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So, Savala Kavua Bechado, the Islay Royin, like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, he considers this concept of royin, that we can see something that's not there as if it was. Just like Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that a weak koda can be considered like a strong one. One made out of straw, for example, can be considered like one made out of metal, or we said, and so forth. The same way, Rabbi Yehuda says, that a koda that's a few tefachim apart from the other one can be considered like it's next to the other one, as long as one is not too high or the other one is not too low and they're less than three tefachim apart. Or polegale b'chada. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is arguing with his father on one point. De either Rabbi Yehuda savala maila me'esrim. Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned in the first Mishnah, says that even if the koda is higher than 20 amos, it's still okay. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds, no, only if it's within 20 amos of the ground, not if it's above it. Because we see that he's saying if one of them is above 20 amos, then it's no good. So we see that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, his father, as far as that detail. He agrees with the other Chachamim that 20 amos is the maximum height. The halacha is like that detail. Right, the halacha is like him in both these things. We do say royin, when it comes to raising and lowering them, we don't say it can be above 20 amos, right? Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rechava Alpha Pisha In Bria, the Rabbi Yehuda had said that it's enough if the koda is a tefach wide, even if it's not physically strong enough to hold the brick. So the Gemara says, Masni le Rabbi Yehuda l'chia barav kamei derav. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, was teaching chia barav in front of Rav. So we had this a few days ago. We had, Rav had a son named Chia. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, who was one of Rav's Talmidim, was teaching Chia Barav. He was his Malamed. So he taught him, as it says in the Mishnah, Rechava Af Bishein Ebriya, that the Koda is okay if it's wide, if it's a Tefach wide, even if it's not strong enough to hold the Ariach. Amalei, so Rav tells him, no, Asnia Rechava Ubriya. Teach him that the correct wording in the Mishnah is Rechava Ubriya. It has to be wide enough and strong enough.
So the question is, now what does Rav mean by that? We'll explain in a second. So the question is, didn't Rabbi Loi say in the name of Rav that the Korah is fine if it's four tefachim wide, even if it's not strong enough to hold a rechim? The answer is Rechava, Arbor, Shiny. It's different when it's four tefachim wide. When it's four tefachim wide, for one thing, you have much more of a heker. When it's four tefachim wide, it's something significant, and you have much more of a heker, so therefore it's fine even if it's not that strong. But if it's less than four tefachim, if it's between one and four tefachim wide, then it has to be strong enough to hold the ariach. Now, well, if it's metal, right. But okay, so now what is going on over here? So Tosfos brings a couple of explanations on it. One is Tosfos starts bringing from the Rashbam that Rav held there's no machlokas in our Mishnah. We have the Chachamim saying it has to be Rechava and Bria. Now in our Mishnah, we have Rabbi Yehuda arguing and saying Rechava af b'shein Bria. So the Rashbam learns what Rav meant is there's no actual machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah would agree that it has to be Bria as well, that it has to be strong enough, which would mean, by the way, that we would have to take out the whole next line in the Mishnah. When we say that if it was made out of straw, we consider it as if it was made out of metal, we would have to take that out because then there's no tana that would hold that way. Tosfos doesn't like that because of that problem, then you have to take out that whole line. So Tosfos continues a different answer. Tosfos continues with a different answer that Rav held that the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are flipped around. That Rabbi Yehuda is the one who would say that it needs to be Bria, the Chachamim would be the ones who say it doesn't need to be Bria. Well, to flip around opinions in a Mishnah, that we can have sometimes. We can have sometimes a Mishnah was transmitted wrongly and the opinions were flipped around. But to take out a whole line of it, that's a little harder. That's a little harder to say. So then Tosfos says. So then, what's the problem with what Rabbi Loi is saying? So then the question would be that Rabbi Yehuda would say. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, that is, who says that it has to be Bria, would say that it only has to be four wide, it doesn't have to be Bria. And the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda would say, if it's four wide, it doesn't have to be Bria, but less than that, he would say it is. Okay. So he's teaching the Talmud what Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to that. Tosfos goes on with more discussion about it. That actually Rav is referring to the opinion of the Chachamim that clarify, he's telling Rabbi Yehuda, clarify that the Chachamim say it has to be Rechava or Bria. The Gemara just waited until we presented both sides of the Machlokas before saying what Rav is telling. So in other words, in the Mishnah we just have that the Mishnah says Rechava kedei lekabel ariach or Bria kedei lekabel ariach. So therefore, Rav is telling Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, make sure you teach him correctly what the Halacha is, that it has to be Rechava or Bria. Okay. No, not against, is it? No, so then the question is, what about what Rabbi Loi says in his name, that it doesn't have to be Bria, and the difference is whether it's one or four tefachim. Okay. Fine. We said in the Mishnah, Hoisesh or Kashchola, we said if the Koda was made out of straw, then we consider it as if it was made out of metal. So the question is, my Kamash Malon, what is the Chiddush in that? The answer is, Damun and Royan. Are you saying that we say this concept of the Royan, Hainuhach, isn't that exactly what we just said? Rabbi Yehuda had said, Rechava af pichein abriya. Now we're saying that if it's made out of straw, we consider it was made out of metal. That's in effect the same thing. The answer is, Mao de tamer b'mina amrinan, shaloi b'mina loy amrinan. If it weren't for that part of the Mishnah, you would have thought that maybe we only say Royan where it's made out of the same material. In other words, if you have a Koda, which is made out of wood, which is the usual material for a Koda, but it so happens that this wood is not strong enough to hold a Rechim, then we would say Royan. Rabbi Yehuda would say you consider it as though it was a thicker piece of wood. But to take straw and make it be considered wood, that we wouldn't necessarily say. Kamash Malan, therefore, Shalob Min Alayim Min, Kamash Malan. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda wants to tell us that even when it's a different Min, for example, straw, he still considers it as if it was made out of wood. Okay. We said akuma royan oisakili pshuta. We said if it was bent, then we consider it as if it was straight. So again, the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? We also need royan in order to say that's good. The answer is kamash malon kidur abzera. The chiddush of that is according to abzera. The amar abzera. Because if it's not right, if we can say that a straw one is considered like a strong one, like one that's made out of wood or metal or whatever, why shouldn't we say that one that's bent, that has a bend in the middle of it, should be considered as if it was straight? Ah, so that's what we're going to point out. So Kamash Malon Kedub Zera. The Amr Abzera, he beseech ha-mavoy v'akmamisa chutz l'mavoy. If the Koda, most of it is inside the mavoy, but the bent part is outside the mavoy. So like in this picture over here, you have the bent part sticks out in front of the mavoy. The mavoy isn't here. So here you have a Koda placed on top of it, and then you have there's a bend in the middle of it, and that bend sticks out beyond the walls of the mavoy. That sticks out. Inami, not inami. So okay, hibasech hamavoy v'akmamisach l'mavoy. Or another example, hibasech esrim v'akmamisach l'maylam esrim. Another example would be if most of the koda is within 20 amos, but the bent part extends above 20 amos. Or the other way around, hi l'maylam asara v'akmamisach l'maylam asara. Or the other way around, you put it with the bend going upside down, and now you have the bent part is less than 10 tefachim from the ground. So in all those cases, is the koda kosher or not? What do you mean? It depends how you go inside. Oh, so then you bend under it. No, but whatever. Ruyin. So you look at it like this. Kol she'ilu yinotol akmumisa. If you were to remove the bent part, the ein ben zelazesh shlosha, and there isn't a space of three tefachim between the ends. So let's say in this example over here, you have the bender sticking out of the mavoy. If the distance between the two ends is less than three tefachim, then you're good. Ein sarich lahavi koda acheres, because lavud. V'im lav tzarich lahavi koda acheres. If not, then you need another koda. So that's the point that the Mishnah is telling us, that if the koda is bent, so as long as the ends of the bend are within three tefachim, one of the other, then you're okay and it's still a valid koda. So the question is, ha nami pshita? Okay, but isn't that also pashut? The answer is he b'seich mavi v'akma misa chutz l'mavi yitzrichalei. Yes, but the chiddush is actually this case where. Fine, the chiddush is not so much where the bend is above 20 amos or below 10 tefachim. The chiddush is where the bend sticks out of the mavoi. Mao de tamer, you would have thought to say, leichush duma osil im shuchi basra. Maybe the problem is, what's the point of the koda again, partially is mishum heker, that people should realize not to carry out into the street. What's going to happen over here? If you have a bend in the middle of it, a person might mistakenly think that he can carry until the bend. And then he's going to be carrying in Rosh Hashanah. So you would think that would be a problem. And maybe even if the parts of the bend are less than three tefachim apart, we should still allow it. We still shouldn't allow it because of that gzera. Kamash Malon. That is the chiddush. We're not gozer that. We're not concerned that a person is going to mistakenly think he can carry until the bend. We're going to say that he's going to know he can just carry until the main part of the koda. Till the main part of the koda. Well, that was the royin that we're talking about. Now, okay, so that's a very important point. So is this part about it being bent or about it being round, is that only according to Rabbi Yehuda or is that also according to the Chachamim? So there was a machlokas rishonim about that. One way of looking at it is that, yeah, only Rabbi Yehuda, who says Royin, only he would say these concepts. The Chachamim would disagree with them because they would say it needs to actually be strong enough to hold the Ariach or row of Arichim, whatever, and if it were, and not only strong enough, but shaped enough. So therefore, this would all be according to Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean that it's not the actual halacha. The other way of looking at it is that no, when it comes to it not being physically strong enough to hold the Ariach, then Rabbi Yehuda would say it's good, the Chachamim would disagree. But here, where it's physically strong enough, it has a bend in the middle of it, or it's round in cross section, even the Chachamim would agree that then we would say Royin. So that's, in fact, that the Rosh points out, you have different Lashonis in the Gemara over here. First, we said about if it's bent, we said that the Gemara asked on it, Pshita. Then we say, when it comes to the next one, we say, we said by the straw one, my Kamash Malon. Then we say Pshita. Then we say Ha Tu Lomali. So that seems to imply that all of them are all according to Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise, the Gemara, so like this, why is Rabbi Yehuda saying more and more examples? Whereas other Rishonim say that the part about the straw is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, but the other two parts are according to the Chachamim as well. And that's how it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. So you are allowed to use a koda that is round and cross section or that has a bend in it, as long as the bend meets the criteria that we said over here. We don't care that part can't actually hold a Rishon because the koda as a whole can. Okay. We said agula royin osekhilim rabas. We said if the koda is wound, you can consider, meaning in cross section, you can consider as if it was square. So the question is, ha tu lamali. So what else are we adding by that? Once we already said all these cases of royin, then what are we adding with that? The answer is sefer, it's duchalei. You're right. The din itself about being wound was not something the Mishnah needed to tell us. We already know that royin. The chiddush is the part that the Mishnah continues, a general rule that we need to know in halacha, kol sheyeshbe kefer gimel tefachim yeshbe roichab tefach, that anything that has a circumference of three tefachim has a diameter of one tefach, so we need to know that part, and therefore the Mishnah chose to introduce that by mentioning the case of a round mavui, of a round koda, that we consider as though it was split in half. Then you have a space of a tefach, right? So now the question is, minahani mili, where do we know this from, this ratio of 3 to 1? Now, the question is, the Rosh actually asked the Rashba, what do you mean, minahani mili? Go measure it yourself. Go measure a circle. Go measure the diameter of it. And you'll find that it's about 3 times as much. Why does the Gemara need to ask minahani mili? So the Rashba's answer we don't have. But the Rosh himself writes in Tosfos HaRosh that the point of the Gemara's question is not how we know it mathematically. We can measure it ourselves. The question is, how do we know that that's valid al pi Torah? Given that we said before that it's not exact, it's really about 3 1/7, how do we know that al pi Torah we're allowed to approximate it to 3? Which when you get down to it, it comes out of kula over here. Suppose you have a koda that's exactly 3 tefachim around. If you were to split it in half, it would be less than a tefach wide because it's 3 divided. It's 3 and something. That's the point. No. So that's the point. The Mishnah is telling us as long as it's 3 tefachim, then you're good. But the question is, on the face of it, if the ratio is about 3 1/7, so if you have a koda that is exactly 3 tefachim around, 3 tefachim circumference, if you were to split it in half, it would be less than a tefach wide because 3 divided by 3 1/7, it would be less than 1. So how do we know that apitoda, that's okay, and you're allowed to do that? So the answer is, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk, which expresses this ratio. In other words, that pasuk is coming to teach us a halacha that you're allowed to use that approximation. With that said, there are Rishonim who say that maybe you can only use it l'chumra, not l'kula, but okay. No. Again. And if the koda itself is 3 tefachim around, and you're saying that the ratio is more than 3, think of it. Imagine if the ratio was 4, then you would have then if you split it, then you would have it would be 3/4 of a tefach across, right? So they're right. Yeah. Okay. So where do we see that 3 is a valid? Let's go on here. Okay. So the question is how we know that 3 is a valid value of pi al pi Torah. So like this. The Amar Rabbi Yechon and the Amar Kra by Yas Asayom Mutzak. The pasuk describes Shloima Amalch made the Yam Shal Shloima out of cast copper. And Mutzak means that they poured copper into a mold and it hardened. The Yam Shal Shloima was a big tank of water. The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim mentions that it was used as a mikveh for the Kohenim, and the Yerushalmi deals with the exact details of how it was built. Usually a keli can't be used as a mikveh, so the Yerushalmi explains that there were holes placed in the basis of it in order to make it that it could function as a mikveh. And that was the purpose of it. It was a mikveh for the Kohenim. Anyway, so the pasuk describes, Eser ba'amam isfosei ad sfosei ogel saviv. It was 10 amos across from one edge to the other. V'chomesh ba'amah kaimase. It was 5 amos tall. V'kov shloshim ba'amah yosav oisei saviv. And a string or a line 30 amos long would go around it. So in other words, we see the pasuk is describing around it as 30 amos, across it as 10 amos. So there you see, 3 to 1. So the question is, what do you mean? It's not exact. What about you have the edge of it, though? You have to consider. If the pasuk is saying misfosai ad sfosai, the assumption is we mean from the outer edge to the outer edge is 10 amas. And then the circumference is the circumference. The other way around. If we say misfosai ad sfosai, then it means the inside. And if we say ogel savi, and if we say that we're measuring around, then it's on the outside. So it doesn't come exact 3 to 1. The answer is because the edge of it, the edge of the Yam Shal Shloima was very, very thin. It was like the leaves, it was like the petals of a shoshan, which is a rose or some other flower like that. So it was very, very thin. As the Pasuk says, the thickness of most of the Yamshel Shlomo, the walls of it, was a tefach. The edge of it, the top edges of it, was like the edge of a cup perach shoshan that was made like the petals of a rose or a lily or something. So it was very thin. And the pasuk continues, Alpayim bas yochil, it held 2,000 bas. A bas is a measure that equals 3 saw. We're going to talk about that soon. So the rim of it was very, very thin. So therefore, it doesn't really make a difference. To the inside versus the outside. Okay, but the Gemara asks, there still is a difference. Va'ikam mashahu, still you have that mashahu difference. Now Tosfos says, what do you mean? What is the Gemara even asking about? Va'ikam mashahu. We know that the measurement is not exact anyway. We know it's not exactly 3. It's 3 1/7 approximately. So what's the Gemara even asking? So different mafoshim explain that what the point of the Gemara's question is. If we're using this pasuk as a source for the concept that 3 is a valid measurement apitoda for this purpose, then we have to have the measurements themselves have to be exact. Well, not the measurements have to be exact, but in other words, the figures that the pasuk is giving us have to be exact. If you have that on the inside it's 10 and on the outside it's 30, in other words, the pasuk is not giving you an exact ratio. So then you're back to the question: how do you know that 3 is a valid ratio that you can use, apitoda? The answer is ki kachoshiv migavoy kachoshiv. The answer is both measurements on the inside, the eser ba'ama from edge to edge, and 30 amas all around is both measuring on the inside of it. Now, again, obviously, if you actually went there and measured it, it wouldn't be. Either it's going to be a little less than 10 across, or it's going to be a little more than 30 around. But the fact that the posit gives us the figures in those measurements shows that that is a valid way that you can consider it al pi halacha, that you're allowed to consider al pi halacha for it to be 3, even though it's actually about 3 1/7. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about the volume of the Yamshel Shlomo. Tanya, we're learning a brisa. Tanya and Abchia, Yamshel also Shlomo hayo machzik 150 mikvatara. The Yamshel Shlomo held as much as 150 normal mikvos. Now let's calculate how much that is. Now how much is a mikveh? 40 sa. And we know that kidetanya, as we learned in a brisa, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, as we learned this on Daf Dalad, v'rochatz as psorei b'mayim, when the pasuk says about a person who is tamei that he should wash his flesh in water, b'mayim implies, Rashi says, it means all the water has to be together. Kol means b'mei mikveh, means in water of mikveh, not just a little bit of water here or a little there or whatever. It has to be all collected. In particular, when it comes to a mikveh, it has to all be collected in one place. A mikveh that leaks is not a valid mikveh, only if it's a mayim. Kol besaroi, when it says he has to wash all of his flesh, means mayim shekol gufoi oyle behen, there has to be enough water that his whole body would fit in it at once. V'kamehen, how much is that? Ama al ama b'rum sholish amas. It's 1 amma by 1 amma by a height of 3 amas. We talked about on Daf Dalad when we learned this, is it that 3 amas is the actual height all the way to the person, to the top of the person's head? Or is it that maybe 3 amas is only up to his shoulders, but then when you go into the water, you displace some of the water, and therefore the water collects above him, and therefore it covers his head as well. Anyway, the point is, so 3 cubic amas, v'shiru chachamim mei mikvah aboyim sa. The chachamim figured out at that amount, 3 cubic amas, your dollar on the day at the top, that 3 cubic amas is 40 sa. So therefore, so a mikvah consists of 40 sa. So now, we're saying that the Yamshel Shlomo consisted of 150 mikvahs, which would be 450 sa. Now let's calculate. Let's start with the assumption that the Yamshel Shlomo was square all the way around, because after all, the pasuk described it that it was 10 amas tall, that it was 10 amas across and 5 amas tall. So let's start by the assumption that it was a square, 10 by 10 and 5 amas tall. So then kama havalahu chameshmeir gamidi. So then it comes out 500 cubic amas. Well, how much is 500 cubic amas in terms of sa? Litlas mea mea, 300 cubic amas equals 100 sa. Because remember, 3 cubic amas equals 3 cubic amas. Not 100 sa, but 100 mikvos. 3 cubic amas equals 40 sa, 1 mikveh. So therefore, 300 cubic sa is going to be 100 mikvos. Lamea v'chamshin. Then you have lamea v'chamshin. You have another 150 cubic, another 150 cubic amas. That would be chamshin. That would come out to 50 more mikvahs. But Abba may have a chamshin sagya. So 450 is already enough. Why did I have to hold 500 cubic amas? The answer is hani mili biribua. All of this calculation that we just said was assuming that the Yamshal Shleimer was square. Yamshal also Shleimer ogul haya, but the Yamshal Shleimer, what sagi means enough, So the answer is hani mili biribua. That only applies if it's square. Yamshal also Shleimer ogul haya. The Yamshal Shleimer wasn't square; it was round. As in fact, we quote on Amud Aleph. We quoted the pasuk was sfasei ogul that the edge of it was round. Yeah, so it was round. So therefore, we have to subtract. Okay, so let's figure then. Mechti, let's consider. Kama merubo yoisto ala igul revia. When you have a square and then you draw a circle inside that square, how much larger is the square than the circle inside it is 1/4. In other words, if the square is let's say 10 by 10, so it has an area of 100, the circle that's inside that, where the edges of that circle touch the square, will be the area of that circle will be about 75. Mathematically, again, it's a little more than that. Actually, here's an illustration of it. Mathematically, it's actually a little bit more than that. The circle actually is about 78% of the square. But again, the same way as we rounded off pi to 3, the same way we're rounding this off to 3/4. So let's do that. So let's figure out that way. In that case, Arameya, in that case, let's recalculate. 400, so we would have like this, in other words. So we started with we started by calculating 500 cubic amas. Now we're saying that's wrong. We have to calculate as if it was a circle, because it was saying we have to calculate as a circle. So fine, if we start out with 400 cubic amas, which then we're gonna take 3/4 of that. So la meya meya. So what we're gonna have is like this. If we start out with a square of 10 by 10, if we start out with a square of 10 by 10, we're going to have 400 at one point. We're going to reduce that by 25% because we're saying the circle, it's a circle instead. So we're going to be left with 300. Therefore, meya. So now you have out of that 100 mikvahs. Lameya esrim v'chamisha. The other 100 are going to be reduced to 75 because, again, it's a circle. And out of that, you're going to get 25 mikvahs. Hani meyev esru mechamsha havalahu. So now, if the whole Yamshal Shleimer was circular, then you only have 125 mikvahs that it fits. And then we said 150. The answer is Tony, Rami by Yecheskel. Rami by Yecheskel taught a braisa that actually it was a combination. Yamsha also shlemes shalish amas tachtonis merubois ushtaim el yonis agulas. It was built like this. The bottom three amas of it was square. The top two amas of it were round. Here's the picture. So the yam, it's a large tank, a large keli made out of copper that was used as a mikveh for the kohenim. So the point is the bottom. It's called a yam because it was like a large sea. It was like a large copper tank full of water, and therefore it was like a sea that's full of water. So we said it was 10 amas across. It was 10 amas across, which would be, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, an amma is a foot and a half about. So you're talking about 15 feet across. It was about 15 feet across. It was 5 amas tall. So about 7.5, 8 feet. No, it's obviously not big enough to be a yam in itself, but it's called the yam because fine, but it still fits 150 mikvahs. It's a substantial size. It's a substantial size. Yeah, for relative to a mikvah, it's big. Yeah, come on, relative to a mikvah, it's big. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So therefore, so it was called, and also b'chalal. I mean, everything in the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash represented something in the world in a smaller scale. So yeah, the Yamshal Shleimer represented on a smaller scale the oceans and lakes and rivers and whatever of the world. Because everything in the world gets its chayos from something in the Beis Mikdash or the Mishkan. So yeah, okay. Anyway, so Rami by Yechezkel. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on. So Rami by Yechezkel is saying the bottom three amas of it were square, the top two were round. So therefore, so it works out mathematically. So the Gemara says, Nehi de'ipcha le'motis amrit. Now, granted, it can't be the other way around. It can't be that the bottom was round and the top was square. Because after all, we quoted the pasuk that says the rim of it was round. So necessarily, the top has to be round. Ela ema choda. But how do you know that the top two amas were round? Maybe only the top one ama was round. And in that case, then the amount it would hold would be more than 150 mikvahs. Because again, the calculation we make is like this. The bottom three amas are square. So you have 10 by 10 by 3. That's 300. The bottom part is 300 cubic amas. That equals 100 mikvahs, because again, 3 cubic amas equals 1 mikvah. The top part is two amas. The top part is two amas tall. So there you have, you would take a square 10 by 10 by 2 and then divide it by 3/4 because it's a circle instead of a square. So you would have 10 by 10 by 2 would be 200 times 3/4 would be 150. So there you have 150 cubic amas would be 50 mikvahs, and there's your 150. So how do we know it was dafka like that? Maybe the bottom four amas was square and only the top one amma was round, and then it holds more than 150 mikvahs. The answer is loy sakadaitach. You can't think that way. Dichtiv apayim bas yochil. Because the pasuk says it could hold 2,000 bas. Now, what is a bas? Bas kama habya shlosha sin. A bas, the definition of a bas is 3 saw. And we know that a bas is three saw. Dichtiv maser abas min akor, because Yechezkel describes that when you're taking maser from a kor, then you have to take a bas. Now a kor is 30 saw. We know that all over Shas. Therefore, a bas has to be 3 saw. So a bas is 3 saw, and the pasuk says 2,000 bas. Yahavol hu shita alfi grivi. So therefore, so it comes out that the Yamshel Shlomo held 6,000 saw. 40 saw in a mikveh, so 6,000 divided by 40 comes out to 150. So that's how we know that it held 150 mikvahs, and that's what forced Rami by Yechezkel to say that it has to be 3 and 2 rather than 4 and 1, because otherwise it wouldn't work out. In fact, the Ritva says, the Gemara could have said this all to begin with very simply. We could have just started by saying, look, the pasuk says it holds 6,000 saw, 2,000 bas, so therefore, obviously, it holds 150 without going through this whole rigmarole. But the Gemara wants to go through the calculation and show us how we can show what the shape of the Yamshel Shlomo was. Okay. So the question is, v'aksiv machzik batim shloshes alafim. Now, in Malachim, when it tells about the Yamshel Shlomo, it says what we just said. The pasuk we quoted is from Malachim, and it says that it held 2,000 bas. But in Divrei Yamim, when it tells it over, it said it held 3,000 bas. So what is it? Is it 2,000 or 3,000? The answer was Ahula Gudsha. That's what the pasuk in Divrei Yamim means. If you were to fill it up with something that you can heap up, like instead of filling it with water, like this, they filled it up with water because it was meant to be as a mikvah. But if instead, let's say they filled it up with grain or flour or whatever, then it would hold 3,000. Then it would hold 3,000 bas. Amar Abaya Shmamina Hai Gudsha Tilta Havi. You see. See from this, says Abaya, that when you heap up something on a keli, the heap part is 1/3 of the total, because we see over here, you're going from 2,000 to 3,000. Now, Rashi points out, obviously that's going to depend on the shape of the keli. We're talking about, specifically, this applies to a keli like the Yamshel Shlomo, where the height of it is, where it's round or square or whatever, and the width and the height is exactly half of the length and the width. Like here, where it was 5 amas tall and 10 amas across. Then you would have the heap part is a third. But obviously, if it was narrower or wider or whatever, then it would be a different proportion. Okay, why is it relevant to know how much the goydash is? Tosfa says, a nafkamina would be as far as mekach or memka, as far as buying and selling. If, let's say, for example, we make a deal, I'm going to sell you a heaped up saw, then I have to sell you a saw and a half, because that's what we're saying over here, that the heap is going to be, that the heap part is going to be 1/3 of the total. Okay, utnan nami, and in fact, we learn similarly in a Mishnah as far as Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, shida tevo migdol, shida tevo migdol of various kinds of wooden kalim, a closet or a cabinet or whatever, kaveras akash, or a basket made out of straw. Kaveras literally means a beehive, because they often use them as beehives, but they could be just used as regular baskets as well. The kaveras akanim, or similarly, if it was made out of reeds, or both Sphin Alexandris and the water tank of an Alexandrian ship. An Alexandrian ship was where they came in and out of the port of Alexandria. They used to go across the Mediterranean, and in the Mediterranean, you don't have fresh water because the Mediterranean is salt water. So they would have to take along with them on the ship a big container that they would fill up with fresh water and drink from it on the trip. So all those kinds of things, even though they have a flat bottom, but if they hold at least 40 sa of liquid, which equals 2 kur of dry, where again 2 kur would be 60, two kur would be 60 sa, not 40. Again, this is where we're talking about the goydish, about the heaped up. So then tahorin, such things are not makabel tumah, because as we learned in Masechet Shabbos, in a big wooden keli is makabel tumah only if it's like a sack where you're able to carry it mole vereka, empty or full. These containers are so large that you wouldn't be able to carry them when they're full because they'd break. So therefore, they're not makabel tumah. In the back of the siddur, yeah, we have a couple of examples. Rabbah b'midah, right, same idea, yeah. So that, right, okay. So we see from that, anyway, the point is, the fact that the Mishnah says 40 sa of liquid, which equals 2 kur of dry, where a kur is 30 sa, so 2 kur is 60 sa, so we see that the heaped up measure adds another extra 20 sa. Mishnah says, L'chayayin sha'amru goven asara tfachim. These l'chayayim that we're talking about that you have to put by a mavri, they have to be at least 10 tfachim tall. V'roichman v'ovyan kolshu. The width and the thickness can be any small amount. There's no minimum width or thickness of the lechi. Rabbi Yossi and Rochman gimel tfachim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, they have to be at least 3 tfachim wide. So we'll talk about it. So no, the fact that it's there is enough of a hecker, even if it doesn't have any width there. So the Gemara asks, when we say l'chayayin sha'amru chula, we're saying the l'chayayin, which is the plural of lechi, does that mean le'matnan stomach k'rab al-yezer d'am l'chayayin be'inan? Wouldn't that be then a stam mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer? We had before, Rabbi Eliezer holds that you need 2 lechis. Are we saying that now the mishnah is saying a stam mishnah like him, which would mean the halacha is like him? It's not. The answer is loy. My l'chayayim, l'chayayim da'alma. No, when we say l'chayayim in our Mishnah, we don't mean the two l'chayayim by one mavri. We just mean l'chayayim generically. Any l'chayayim in the world that are out there, all of them have the same rule. They have to be 10 tfachim tall, and they have no minimum width. So the Gemara says, in that case, ihachi koda nami nisni kodas, or my kodas da'alma. Nu, and in the previous Mishnah, we said a koda in the singular needs to be wide enough to hold an ariach, etc. So why don't we use the word kodos in the plural over there? I mean all the kodas in the world. L'chayayim means is the plural of lechi. A lechi is a vertical pole that you put. Right, so because we've been talking about it the last few days, a lechi is a vertical pole that you put by the entrance of the mavui. It's one of the two ways of making that now you're allowed to carry in the mavui. Right. So if we're saying l'chayayim in plural, we didn't say kodas in plural, so what's the difference? Now, hachikama, what the Mishnah means is like this. Oysen l'chayayim shenechlechu behen rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim. As far as those l'chayayim, which Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are good about, where Rabbi Eliezer says you need 2, and the Chachamim say you need only 1, you should know, goyven asara tfachim v'roichman v'ovyen kolshu. The minimum height is 10 tfachim, but there's no minimum width or thickness. The point of that is, in other words, that the Mishnah wants to tell us, derech agav, that even though Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about the number of l'chayayim that you need, Rabbi Eliezer saying that you need 2, and the Chachamim saying you need only 1, they both agree on the size of the l'chayayim. Unlike Rabbi Yossi, who says they need to be 3 tfachim, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachamim that they can be any thickness or any width. He just says you need 2 rather than 1. Okay. The Kama Kol Shehu. Now, when we say Kol Shehu, what does that actually mean? Now, what do you mean, what does Kol Shehu mean? Kol Shehu means Kol Shehu. The Rashba explains, because we have an example later on in the Masechta where the Gemara says about something Kol Shehu, actually Mashehu, it says over there in the Gemara, and the Gemara ends up saying it means actually 1 tefach. So sometimes kol shehu doesn't literally mean kol shehu, doesn't mean the tiniest amount. It means even that it's much smaller than you would expect, but it still has some minimum amount. So what is it? The width, the height is 10 tfachim, we're saying. Yeah. The width, we're saying, we're arguing. So the width, the height has to be at least 10 tfachim. The width, the lechi has to be at least 10 tfachim tall. The width, we're saying, is nothing. But the width doesn't have to be any minimum width. It could be any, it could be even a tiny thing. So that's the question is there actually a minimum? Tony Rabchia, filo kachot asarbol. So Rabchia taught in a braisa, no, it can be even as thin as the kind of, as the string that you use to tie a coat closed, which is a very thin string. You think of, like, for example, the lace on the hood of a coat or something. It's fairly thin, so the lechi can even be that thin. Yeah. Okay. Because we don't do for a lechi. What we do is for tzoras haPesach. That's something else. That tzoras haPesach has different rules. I'll explain afterwards because we're running late over here already. Okay, Tana, we learn in a braisa. Also lechi lachatzi mavui. If you made a lechi only halfway down the mavui, ein le elachatzi mavui, then you're only allowed to carry in that half of the mavui. So in other words, imagine you have the mavui goes from here to here. Usually you place the lechi by the end of the mavui where it faces Rosh Hashanah. Instead, you place the lechi here in the middle of it, so you can only carry in that half of the mavui. So the Gemara says, pshita, well, isn't that obvious? Of course, why should you be able to carry in the other half of it? No. Ela ema, you're right. What the Braisa meant to say is, yesh lechatzi mavui. The chiddush of the Braisa is not that he's not allowed to carry in the other half, but he is allowed to carry in this half, where the lechi is. So the question is, honami pshita. Okay, but isn't that also obvious? The answer is, ma'u detema, lechush duma osi lishta moshi bekole. You might think to make a gzera that you can't, because then you may come to carry in the other half of the mavi as well, beyond the lechi, and maybe therefore the chachamim should ask you to carry anywhere in the lechi, in the mavi, kamash malon. Therefore, the braisa wants to tell us that not, you are allowed to carry up to the lechi. Because you would think, once you have... Because you might think, still, the mavi is one big thing. You're still going to get used to carrying. And in fact, by the way, there is a Tosfos later on in the Masechta that learns that this heter would only apply if the other half of the mavi, which is beyond the lechi, does not actually have openings of chatzeres and houses opening into it. Tosfos says over there, if it does, then you have a problem because you have one part of the mavi where you can carry, another part where you can't, and those two are completely open one to the other, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to carry in either part, as the usual rule goes, which we've discussed before, and we're going to discuss again later on in the Masechta, where you have Nifratz L'makama Asuloi, where you have a place where you're allowed to carry, which is completely broken open into an area where you're not allowed to, then you're not allowed to carry in either one. So Tosfos says, it's one thing then if the outer half of the Mavri, where the Lechi isn't, if there's no Chatzeres or anything opening into there, fine, then there's nothing to Aser that part of the Mavri. So then we're saying you're allowed to carry in this half, you're just not allowed to carry in this half because there's no Lechi. But if both parts have Batim and Chatzeres open into them, then Tosfos says you wouldn't be allowed to carry in either part. Yeah, right. Okay. Amar Rava. Also lechi l'mavui, if the person made a lechi for the mavui, v'yigbiya min hakarka shlosha, he put the lechi more than three or more tfachim off the ground, or she fligim min hakosel shlosha, or if he put it more than three tfachim from the nearby wall, lo asav lo klum, then what he did doesn't count for anything. And afilu l'Rav Shimon Gamliel, d'omer aminin lavod, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that we apply lavod up to four tfachim, even he would agree that the limit here is three tfachim. Hani mili l'mayla. Because it's one thing when you're talking up above, like we had the example before of two kodas next to each other, and there's up to four tfachim between them or whatever. So then Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to allow lavud. Aval lamata, but here you're talking about closer to the ground. Kiven dehabi mechitza shagdoyim boikinba, since you wind up now with a mechitza where young goats can walk underneath it, loy kamar, even Reb Shimon Gamliel is going to agree that you can't consider that to be a valid lechi, or that you can't consider it to be a valid lechi. By the way, you have a machlokas aposkim in a similar thing as far as a tzuras haPesach. If you're putting a tzuras haPesach up for your mavui or your front yard or whatever, and you put one or both sides of the tzuras haPesach more than three or more tfachim away from the nearby wall, does that count or not? Maybe yes, maybe not. I mean, here we're talking about a lechi. So a Pesach has different rules, but still, you know, you should try to keep it within three tefachim of the wall. If you didn't, then b'dieved, some poskim will allow it. Is there a sort of Pesach there? So I'm not sure. I mean, most of it is it's all fenced in. You're talking about the area where they make they're talking about the area by 770 where they build the sukkah. It's all fenced in, I think.
No.
I don't know. I ask me afterwards, because let's finish over here. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer Rochman Gimel Tfachim, Rabbi Yossi says the minimum width of the Lechi is 3 Tfachim. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Ein Halacha Ke Rabbi Yossi, Loi Behilmi V'Loi B'Lachayayin. The Halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, not as far as Hilmi, which is something we learned about in Masechta Shabbos. Hilmi is a kind of very strong salt water. We said in the Mishnah over there that you're not allowed to make a large amount of it on Shabbos because it looks like you're preparing it for pickling food or something, but you are allowed to make a small amount of it. And Rabbi Yossi says, what's the difference? Once you're making Hilmi, if you're not allowed a large amount, you're not allowed a small amount either. So Rabbi Shmuel wants us to know the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in that, the loy b'lachayayin, and also not as far as the lechis over here, that the halacha is, the lechi does not have to be 3 tefachim wide. Amalei Rav Huna bar Chinina. So Rav Huna bar Chinina says to Rav Yosef, now remember, Rav Yosef had become sick and he forgot his learning, and his Talmidim used to have to remind him. So Rav Huna bar Chinina tells him, Behilmi amritlon vil chayayin loy amritlon. You told us that the halacha is not like Rav Yosef as far as Hilmi, but you never told us that the halacha is like him as far as l'chayayin. So the question is, Maishna behilmi de pligyu rabbanan alei. So what's the difference? By Hilmi the chayayin, come and disagree with him and say you're allowed to make a small amount at a time. Nu, and by L'chayayim, the Chachamim also argue. So why would there be a difference? If the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in one, why would we assume the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in the other? Amalei, so he said, Rabbi Huna Machina tells him, Shaina L'chayayim, Mishum Dekoyi Rebbe Kavasei. You could argue that maybe the case of the Lechis is different because Rebbe also holds like him. We learned the other day that Rebbe also learns that, like Rabbi Yossi, that the lechi has to be at least 3 tefachim wide. So now it's not just Rabbi Yossi. You have Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. So maybe that's more of a reason to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. That's one version of how the discussion went. Rabbi Rechumi Masni Hochi. Rabbi Rechumi learned the discussion differently. Amar of Yehuda Breidir of Shmuel Bashilas Meshmeidir Rab. That in the first version, again, we had Rabbi Yosef saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef. In the second version, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shmuel Bashilas, says in the name of Rab, Ein halacha ke Rabbi Yosef loy behilmi v'loy b'lachayayin, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef by Hilmi or by l'chayayin. Amrulei, so the other Chachamim said to him, meaning Rabbi Chumi or maybe Rabbi Huda, they asked him, Amrit, did you actually say that? Amalahu loy, he said, no, I did not. Meaning he changed his mind. He first thought the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in these, but now he's changing his mind. Amar Rava, but Rava says, Ha'elikim, I swear in the Eibishter's name, Amra, he did actually say that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in either of these. Ugmir no lamine, I actually learned it from him as part of my established Gemara. So yes, he did actually say it. My time of Kahodabe. So now why is he changing his mind and saying that he never said it? Because we have a general Rabbi Yossi, there's a Gemara in Gittin that mentions a lot of the milus of the various Chachamim, the various special qualities that each of the Chachamim had. It mentions of there Rabbi Yossi Nimukai Imoi. Nimukai means his reason. Meaning, whenever Rabbi Yossi would say that such and such is the halacha, he always had a good reason to give why that should be the halacha. So you would think, since Rabbi Yossi nimuka imay, so Rabbi Chumi or Rabbi Yehuda is saying, maybe given that nimuka imay, maybe the halacha should be like Rabbi Yossi in both of those things. Okay. Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanan la'abaye hilchas amai. So Rava bar Rav Chanan asked Abaye, what's the bottom line halacha? Is the halacha like Rabbi Yossi as far as l'chayayim, that they have to be at least 3 tefachim or not? Amalei, so he answers him, Puk chazi mai amadvar. Go out and look what the people say. In other words, you always see people put up l'chayayim by their mavois, and they never make sure that they're 3 tefachim wide. That shows that itself, you can see from that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. The common minhag is that you don't need that, therefore you don't need it. And Tosfos points out, the halacha is certainly not like him in Hilmi, because we didn't have anybody saying, we said the halacha might be like him in Lechi, but not in Hilmi. There was nobody who had said that the halacha would be like him in Hilmi, but not in Lechi. So therefore, if the halacha is not like him in Lechi, certainly it's not in Hilmi. So you're allowed to make a small amount of salt water on Shabbos, as long as we learned in the Gemara and Shabbos, as long as it's not too strong. Okay. Eka demasni laha, this expression that we had, puk chazi mai amadavar, go out and look and see what the people actually do. There's a different version that says that it was said in connection with the following din. We learn in Brachas, Hashosim Mayim Letzmoy Omer Shahakol Nivadvari. If a person drinks water because he's thirsty, then he says a Brachas Shahakol. When he's thirsty, meaning as opposed to, for example, if a person has, if some food went down the wrong way, if a person has a cough or whatever, and he's drinking water, and then you don't make a Bracha for it. Water, because water, now, other drinks, you would make a bracha because other drinks have a flavor. Water has no flavor. The only reason you would be drinking water, the only reason you'd be getting hanah from water is if you're thirsty. So only if you're thirsty, you'd make a bracha shak on it. Reb Tarfon Omer Burn of Foshas Rabbis for Chasrein and Alkol Masha Barasa. Reb Tarfon says that you make a before bracha on the water, a burn of Foshas. So Omelet of Chonel Abaya Hilchsamai. So in the second version, Rav Chanan asked Abaya, what's the halacha? Do we say shehakol before we drink water, or do we say burn afoshes? And again, Amalei Pukhazi, my amadavar, go see what people actually do. You see that halacha lamais, if people say shehakol, that is what the halacha is, so not like Rav Tarfon. So that's another example where we see that you go, you look at what people do, and you say the halacha is like that. Okay. So that's the bottom line then. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi as far as the lechi. The halacha is the lechi can be any width or any thickness. It just has to have a minimum height of 10 tefachim. So now, again, all of this is as far as lechis. This is all we're talking about as far as a mavui. And where a mavui has a certain definition, it's longer than it's wide, and it has houses and chatzeres opening into it, then we're saying that a lechi in front of it, or a koda in front of it, is enough to make it mutter to carry in and on Shabbos once you make a shittuf mavoyas. A chatzer is something else. A chatzer is something that doesn't fit one or another of those criteria. It's wider than it's long, or it's square, or it doesn't have houses and chatzeres open into it. Then you need either a wall, at least we said a few days ago, you need either a pass our bar, you need a wall at least 4 tefachim wide on the open side, or you need a tzuras ha-pesach. So nowadays, the general thing we do with our alleyways and our chatzeres and whatever is we make a tzuras ha-pesach rather than trying to figure out whether it fits the criteria of a lechi and put only a lechi or a koda there. So again, a lechi and a koda have different rules than a tzuras ha-pesach. One thing is, again, we said the koda has to be strong enough to be able to hold bricks. A tzuras ha-pesach, the top of it does not. On the other hand, the Tzuras HaPesach, you have to have all three parts of Lachi or Koda. You only need one or the other. There's other differences as well. We talked about a couple of days ago the question in the Gemara whether the top of a Tzuras HaPesach has to touch the side poles, and the halacha is it doesn't. So you can have the side poles are lower down, and the top piece can be way far above them, like they do when they use power lines for Erevin, for example. However, there is a point mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, you can't have anything else between them, which means sometimes you're putting up, let's say, a Tzuras HaPesach next to your house, you might have where you have one of the poles of the Tzuras HaPesach on the ground next to your house, then above it you have the eave of the roof sticking out above it, and then you're gonna put the top above it. That doesn't work because you have something in between. That doesn't work according to many poskim because you have something in between the vertical pole between the vertical pole on top of the Tzuras HaPesach. So the different ones have different rules over here is the bottom line. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.